Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, joins me as my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organization, to talk of the war in the Middle East and the larger political atmosphere prior to the presidential debate, the first time, to my knowledge, in history, two presidents have debated over the world affairs. Thaddeus, you have a question for Malcolm.
Yes, Malcolm, we're hearing reports about weapon shipments to Israel. It's an interesting time because Gallant is visiting Washington. Can you shed some light on this for us?
Well, I really wish I could put some more light and less heat, but I can describe where I think we are right now. And you're absolutely right. The defense minister, Gallant, is in Washington, is meeting with Secretary Austin. He's met with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who made some disturbing remarks to some people where essentially he warned Israel about not going into Lebanon and that they wouldn't be able to defend Israel in Lebanon like they did against the Iranian assault when they shot the 300 missiles and drones at Israel and several countries helped bring them down. That telling Israel would be on their own, because this is a very delicate time, given the prime minister's public remarks expressing his chagrin that the shipments that had been promised to Israel, vital shipments, including the JDAMs, which are the precision guidance systems for missiles, which the United States should want them to get so that the attacks are more targeted and limit any possibility of collateral damage. And the weapons they're asking for are not for Rafah. Therefore, the war, potential war in the north, which we will talk about, I'm sure. But the debate now, of course, takes on strong political overtones. The United States supposedly said or gave a warning to Hamas, to Hezbollah, that if they continue the attacks, and they're sending some days 100 even more missiles against Israel, they have destroyed over 1,000 homes in Israel's north. 80,000 people are displaced. And quite a few people have been injured and killed. And the weapons that Israel is asking for would be essential to countering the capabilities that Iran has given Hezbollah. And now the arms shipments have slowed, even if they haven't stopped, but some have stopped. And this goes back to a trip by the Director General of Defense Ministry in December, I think, or January, where he went to appeal to shorten the time for the delivery of munitions. And the feeling is it being deliberately slow walked? Is it because we don't have a lot to send? I think that the general political considerations, and Senator Cotton gave a very dramatic speech where he showed that the president can forego formal congressional notification, but overwhelmingly Congress supports the shipment of the weapons. So that is not the roadblock. And you have Hezbollah and Hamas continuing to rearm and regroup and taking on more and more sophisticated weapons. So this is a very serious issue. Israel is being forced into a confrontation it doesn't want with in Lebanon with Hezbollah. They have 150,000 rockets. They have advanced drones, which they arm and which they have flown into Israel. So it's a very tense time in this relationship, and that's why the visit is so important. And Netanyahu is coming to Washington to speak to a joint session of Congress, invited by both the Democratic and Republican leadership, though a number of Democrats have now protested, say they're not going to show up. But he's coming still on the 24th in the afternoon to give that address.
War of the North, Malcolm. Iran directs Hezbollah. Iran is offering volunteers to Hezbollah. What about the nuclear weapons program? We've not spoken of it for a couple of weeks.
Well, you're right, and it's getting short shrift at a time when it should be being examined, because we know that they are enriching at almost weapons grade. We know that they are advancing in their ballistic missile program, and there are a variety of other steps that Iran has been taking to advance their nuclear program. And to also with the export, they continue to provide rockets and UAVs and other material to Iran. We know that the Beirut airport supposedly has huge stockpiles of weapons that were supplied by Iran. And the fear is if Israel strikes it, they said it would bring down the city of Beirut because so much stuff is there. And this information is, by the way, coming from whistleblowers who work at the airport and who are very concerned about what the potential here would be for a strike and exposing the nefarious activities of Iran. So they are moving ahead, and the reports are also that they're moving ahead on what they call developing computer models, which are necessary to build a bomb. And this, both United States and Israeli experts have been warning about this, that evidence keeps accumulating, that they're pressing ahead with their nuclear ambitions. They're getting closer and closer to achieving it. And they say that they will have enough weapons-grade uranium for 9 nukes in 2 months, which is something, if you remember, David Albright warned about when he was on this program with us some time ago. And now it seems that they are getting closer and closer to that reality.
Volunteers from Iran, Malcolm, what can you tell us?
So Iran has announced that they are prepared to send 100,000 fighters, people who have volunteered to go to Iran. We already know that there are Iranian militia in Syria. They have tried to encroach more and more on the Golan Heights, as are also Russians are there. And they are recruiting people to send. Now, the fact is that Hezbollah says we don't need them. We have over 100,000 fighters, and we don't need additional manpower at this point. But it's just an indication of the continuing role that they are playing in the efforts in the United States to say, you know, to push and to support Israel and pushing Hezbollah back beyond the Litani is not going to become a reality when you have this kind of forces and the kind of buildup that we know exists in southern Lebanon and beyond, in much of Lebanon, which is essentially ruled by Hezbollah today.
Now, the strangest story, Fatah and Hamas in talks in China. Did I say that correctly?
You did. And it's not surprising that you find it surprising, because it's remarkable how the media hardly paid any attention to these talks, reconciliation talks between Fatah and China and Hamas being hosted in China. They were due to be held this month, but they were delayed and no new date has been set. And there are mutual recriminations about it. There was a meeting of Palestinian factions in April, and China said that Fatah, which is led by Abbas, as you know, and Hamas said that they will seek to reconcile through unity talks in Beijing. The officials had previously said the meeting would take place in mid-June. Now there's deep divisions between them, and the hopes of a breakthrough in terms of their relationships have fallen apart. And the senior Hamas officials told news sources that the meeting was postponed and no new date for another meeting, saying Fatah, which he says requested the delay, is not ready to talk.
That is?
Yes, Malcolm. Can you give us updates on 3 different items, 2 of them negative and 1 of them very, very optimistic? 1, the Dagestan incident. Secondly, Bahrain cozying up to Tehran. And finally, the good news, India seems to be in support of Israel.
So India not only seems to be, but is in support of Israel and helping with supplying weapons, supplying some sophisticated things that Israel needs. The relationship between them has become very close. These are mostly artillery shells, drones. There's a factory that was established by Israel in India to supply the Indian military, and now they have outfitted some of the drones to be able to serve Israel's purpose, and they say they remember Israel's support for them. The story about Dagestan is a very sad one, obviously very concerning. Likely terrorist ISIS or other groups, you know, it is a neighbor of Chechnya. The 15 or 19 people were killed, including a priest. Two churches and two synagogues were attacked on a police station. This is not the first time. There is a history here, but the attacks in Derbent and Majdala are of great concern because they fought for a long time. I mean, when the battle went on for hours, and clearly coordinated, well orchestrated, and they claim that, you know, there were attacks that went back, if you remember, in 2018 and even before. So the danger now to the minorities, the Christian and Jewish minorities, is felt very sharply. And the government has declared a 3-day period of mourning and expressed support for their people. But this has to be a warning also to Russia that the Islamist terrorist groups can strike there as well, as they have in the past.
Malcolm, a detail here about the Fatah-Hamas meeting. It's very strange, but I recall some years ago now, there was a debate or some kind of controversy because China was building a new structure in Israel. I remember it being something to do with commercial trade.
A port.
And there was question about China listening in or planning surveillance items on board. I don't remember how it was resolved, but is there a reason to believe that China's been hostile to Israel all these years and now it's emerged?
So they've made common cause with Russia and Iran. They only look for their own interests. They have bought Israeli companies. There are Chinese delegations constantly in Israel. Israel and the United States has expressed concern that they not provide any technology to China. The Chinese people feel a close relationship to Israel. And as I said, you can see them there prominently. But the case you're talking about was a sensitive port where the Sixth Fleet would call, and the United States made clear that that would not happen if China was in control because they could steal secrets and intelligence. So that deal was rescinded, of course, and for Israel's purposes as well. But China, like everywhere else, they invest everywhere. They try to buy land everywhere. In Israel, small country, they can't do what they do in Africa and other places, buying huge, huge swaths of land to export everything they grow there. But they did buy a dairy because they found that the Jewish cows get more milk, and they have exported that the technology to China as well. On the other point you raised about Bahrain, to me, a very disturbing development that Bahrain and Iran are now discussing renewing diplomatic relations, which they broke in 2016, I remember, when Saudi Arabia did. And they're talking about rebuilding bilateral relationships again. This is stories coming from the Iranian news service, so it's always a grain of salt. But the acting foreign minister of Iran met with his Bahraini counterpart. They spoke on the sidelines of the Asian cooperation dialogue, and both sides agreed on creating this framework to start talks on renewing diplomatic relations. And this is the second visit of the foreign minister of UAE, who attended the Raisi funeral as well. So again, I think a response to the concern that Iran is going to emerge out of all of this, the West is not going to stand up to them and assure that they not be a nuclear program power and a threat to their neighbors.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. When we come back, the Dusty One. I'm John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.